Our lessons on the new birth. You know, our text scripture is coming from 1 John chapter number, I believe it's 5, isn't it? 5 and 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, everyone that believeth, everyone that loveth him is begotten, begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. For this we know, that we are the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Then verse number 4, I believe, is where our text is coming from. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the goal, the objective of the new birth, as we said when we were down in Maryland, is for us to do what? Overcome. It is for us to overcome. Now, we have gone through many different pieces of the new birth. Last week we talked about the divine nature part. And now we want to go into really the specifics of the new birth. That plan that Jesus had put in place, that he told Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. Let's go over to John chapter number 3 and let's look at that a little bit on this morning. That's where we'll kind of be at for the closing of this part of this lesson on the new birth. John chapter number 3. Very famous. We go over it all the time. John 3, and start at verse number 1.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus.
All right.
A ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi.
Which means teacher or master.
We know that thou art a teacher come from God.
Yes.
For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
So we see what was on Nicodemus's mind. He was overtaken by the things that he saw Jesus doing. Now, we know Jesus himself said that. If you don't believe me for the words that I say, believe me for my works. The works that I do, they testify of me. If you don't believe me for what I am saying, believe me for the things that I am doing. Because the things that I am doing testify or tell you really who I am. Okay? So, Nicodemus was, his attention was captured by the miracles of Jesus. The miracles of Jesus got Nicodemus' attention. And it brought Nicodemus to ask this question or to make this this thing towards Jesus. He says, well, how can a man, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except what? Now, little did Nicodemus know he was talking to God. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he did not know that. He only saw Jesus as God being with him, but little did he know Jesus is God, right? So that lets you see, when you don't have the new birth, your understanding is limited. You can see the miracles of Jesus. You can see his working, but you need to see a little bit more than Jesus being a miracle worker. And that's all Nicodemus can see. Nicodemus could understand the blessings of Jesus, the many marvelous things that Jesus was able to do. And you may hear people testify about that. Jesus is doing this miraculous thing. Or Jesus doing this wonderful thing. And isn't Jesus awesome? And you may hear them say little things like that. But then you need to see who Jesus is. That's what the devil don't want nobody to see. He don't want you to see who Jesus is. Doesn't want you to realize that Jesus Christ is God himself. He doesn't want you to understand that Jesus didn't become God because you found out his name in the New Testament. He didn't become God because the scripture says that she shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. That's not, he didn't become God because that happened. He was God all the way from the beginning. When the scripture says, in the beginning, God, is really talking about Jesus. We just did not know his name in the beginning. When Moses asked God for his name, he says, what name shall I give the people? He said, the God, when he came to Moses at the burning bush, he said, I am the God of thy forefathers. Let's go over there really quick. Didn't intend to go there. But I just want you to understand something about this revelation and the limit that the enemy, the limitations that the enemy wants us to be stuck with. What did I say? Exodus? Exodus chapter number 3. I may not have given it to you. Exodus chapter number 3 and starting at verse number 6. Yes. Yes. Isn't that something? He says, I am the God of thy father. The God of who?
Abraham.
Uh-huh. Isn't that something? So that lets us know God just didn't come into existence. Been here for a long time. From the beginning of time. Before time was, God is. He just did not become. He's always been there. All right? Now again, Nicodemus's understanding was limited because all he could see about Jesus, he said that God was with him. But little, as I said before in the beginning, little did he know he was talking to God. God did not give his name there in Exodus. He only describes himself. He says in verse number 6, he says, I am the God of thy father. The God of who? Abraham. The God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. You see that? This God revealed himself. He says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Now you see when you come to down to verse number 10, what does it say?
Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. That thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel,
out of Egypt. So Jesus is letting us know this God that is speaking to Moses is telling us why he shows up. Why does he come? Now, the children of Israel got stuck on the miracles, just like Nicodemus. But they failed to understand who God is, right? There's nothing new. You see, notice, what did Nicodemus say about God? I know that thou art a teacher, come from God, because can't nobody do these miracles that thou art doing, except God be what? See, that's a dangerous revelation, to be stuck right there. About when you're talking about God, and you're talking about Jesus, and you try to separate the two. You try to make two out of them. You say, oh, yeah, I see God working through Jesus. Or I see Jesus working under the power of God himself. You're trying to separate. You're trying to make it out to be two. Nah. Or some people say, I thank God for his son Jesus. You're trying to separate it. You're trying to make two. I've even read when some people say, I thank God for God. I thank Jesus for the him being the Son. And I thank him for the whole. And I thank the Holy Ghost. See, you're trying to separate them. You're trying to give the impression that there's more than one. And there is not more than one. That was Sister Fisher was really good when she said that thing on Friday. You got to be careful who you listen to. Don't you let nobody mess up your understanding of what Jesus has shown you. Jesus has shown you that he is the Almighty God. That there is not another. Jesus, in other words, did not become God. He's always been God. Even when we did not know his name. Even when he was describing himself in Exodus, he's still Jesus. Oh, yes, he's still Jesus. Moses didn't know it. And Jesus is telling Moses the same thing the angel told Mary in Matthew chapter number 1 and 21. Jesus is telling Moses the same that thing. He says, I am come down to do what? Come now, therefore, I will send thee to Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth. Huh? You see that? Bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of That's deliverance. That's what it means to be saved. When you're talking about having a new birth, you're talking about being saved. Some people say, oh, when I gave my life to Jesus, the Lord saved me, but I'm waiting on the Holy Ghost. You're not saved. You're not saved because you, quote unquote, give your life to Jesus. You need to experience the new birth. That's the only time you can call yourself saved. You say, we use that word saved to mean you've been brought out of something. You've been brought from one place to another. You're not saved until Jesus brings you from under the power of Satan unto his power. Brings you from out of darkness into the marvelous light. And many of you may have had an encounter with Jesus long time before you came here. You may have had an encounter with the Lord, and the Lord might have moved on you mightily. But I'm trying to tell you, you were not saved until the Lord completely completed that plan of salvation for you. Even if you had one part of it, but you missed the other part. You did not have the new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus you had to be born of both water and spirit. There's a completion that is experienced by the soul when it has been delivered from sin, when it has been brought out of it. I'm not talking about being in it. See, Israel's deliverance was no good when they were seeing the miracles of Jesus and they were still in Egypt. Isn't that something? It was no good for them to still be in Egypt while the death angel was still going about. The Lord showed him the power when he said, put the blood on the doorpost, and he allowed the death angels to pass through the land, and they were spared. But that wasn't being saved. They weren't saved until the Lord brought them out of it. Come on, saints. When the Lord bring you out of sin, then you got something to shout about. Then you can talk about, I thank Jesus for saving me. Why? How do you know he saved you? Because he brought you out. He brought you out of your Egypt. He brought you out of your house of bondage. He brought you out of your sin, right?
Yes, yes.
Devil just wants you to be stuck.
Yes, he does.
Wants you to be stuck.
Yep.
Still talking about the goodness of Jesus. And you still in bondage. Still seeing the miracles of Jesus. Did they see the miracles? Yes. They saw the pestilence. They saw the fire. They saw the water turn into blood. They saw the flies. They saw the death angels. They saw all of that stuff. They saw the boils. They saw all that stuff. Hell falling in fire. They saw all that stuff. But they still weren't saved. Because they were still in Egypt. They needed to get out of Egypt. That's why they didn't start singing joy and praise until the Lord brought them out. When the Lord brought them out, Moses' sister said, we need to not still behave like we are still in Egypt. Scripture says she took a tambourine and began to sing the praise of the Lord. And then after they had gone so far, and then they realized they still weren't saved. Because they realized Egypt was still after them. Until they got to that Red Sea. They got to that Red Sea. That's how you know if you're not careful, them old bondage style thinking will mess your thinking up, mess your mind up. Because even when stuff get difficult and rough, if you're not careful, that devil will put that thought in your mind like he put it in their mind. It'd be better for us to go on back to Egypt than for us to die in this wilderness. But you cried to get out. Jesus didn't cry to come out. You cried. You cried to Jesus to get out of sin. You said, Jesus, I'm sick and tired of sin. Why would you let sin keep lingering around when you said you tired of it, right? Does that make any sense? That's how you know the devil be the hold that the devil had on people's mind. Say, Elder Scudder, I need the devil to release his hold from my mind. How do you know the devil got a hold of your mind? Because you start to consider to go back. Go back where you cried for the Lord to deliver you out of. The Lord didn't cry to get out of sin. You cried to Jesus. Jesus, deliver me from sin. Take me out of this mess. Bring me out of this gross darkness. And Jesus comes down. Oh, yes, he does.
He honors His name. He says His ears are open to the cries of the righteous. He honors it when you call on His name. And when He comes, He ain't coming. Some people say He's coming to see about you. Now, He already know about you. Lord ain't coming to see about you. He knows all things. He says, when I come, I'm coming to bring you up out. Is that what chapter number 3 in Exodus and verse number 10 say? Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth. Bring forth my people. The children of Israel. Now, it was the children of Israel in that day. Now, His people are the church. He's coming to bring His church. His church where? Out of Egypt. What is Egypt? It's this world we live in. What is your address? That's Egypt. I'm in the city of Philadelphia. The city of Philadelphia to me is Egypt. And the Lord told me, don't you be comfortable in Philadelphia. Why? Because you called me. You called me, you cried out to me, and said, Lord, deliver me. And Jesus said, I came down to deliver you from out of Philly. All of the death, all of the dirt, all of the pollution, all of the corruption, all of it. Jesus said, I'm coming to do what? Deliver you out of it, right? Jesus said, I'm come down to bring my people, the church, out of Egypt, right? That's true. That's what Jesus said. He's coming to bring us up out of Egypt. And that's why I say we got to be careful. When we get to these little hard places in life, things like a Red Sea, things that seem like you can't get through. You know it. Life sometimes get difficult like that. It get hard. Make you feel like you have no place to turn. I'm trying to tell you, don't forget Jesus. Just because stuff get hard, don't you forget Jesus. That's because you can't see a way. Don't you forget Jesus. That's when you need faith to kick in. Faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. The evidence of things what? Israel couldn't see how to get through. Israel didn't know what the Lord was going to do. But they had already seen the miracles of Jesus. They had already seen His works. All they had to do is believe. Same thing with you and I. We've already seen the work of Jesus. He's been working in your life all of your life. However old you are, that's how long Jesus been working. And He done proved to you over and over again His power, right? The devil just wants you to question the Lord. Because you can't see your way. Because it don't make sense to you. I'm trying to tell you, you ain't no different than Israel. Red Sea didn't make no sense to them. They couldn't see how to get past that. But then when their enemy got bold, Lord did something miraculous. He caused the pillar of fire to come down out of the heavens and get between Israel and the enemy. Isn't that amazing? And then while they had to exercise patience, Lord began to use His preacher to speak to Israel. Said, they were complaining. They were murmuring. But the Lord's preacher began to declare the word of the Lord. What did He declare? Stand still. And see the salvation. Come on, Jesus is our salvation. We need to do what? Stand still and just see Jesus, right? That's all we need to do. You don't need another miracle. All you need to do is see Jesus. He done showed you enough miracles to bring you out of your sin. He got your attention by the miracle. Now you need to be delivered, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Now you need to be delivered. You need salvation. And you need to learn how to do what? Stand still. And just see Jesus. Salvation is Jesus. And Moses told you to do what? Stand still and see the salvation. See Jesus, saints. Stand still and just see Jesus. See Jesus as your way. See Jesus as your peace. See Jesus as everything that you need, right? Just see Jesus. Don't accept the substitute. Anything else is counterfeit. It's not genuine. You need something real. Huh? It's a beautiful thing for Moses to say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then when Moses stretched out that rod, then the salvation of the Lord was seen. Oh yes, I'm trying to tell you, if you just learn to stand still and just calm your mind. And I mean calm your mind, clear out all of it. Clear out all the pollutions, the distractions. Calm your mind and just focus on Jesus. That's what we're trying to tell you when you're down on your knees tarrying. We say just concentrate on Jesus. I'm trying to tell you, I already know how the enemy work. I done been down that path before. And I'm still on that path. Even after you get the Holy Ghost, the enemy still tried to boggle your mind down with a bunch of mess, a bunch of pollution, a bunch of corruption. They're distractions. They're trying to take your mind off of your salvation. You can't get clear salvation when your mind is on other stuff. But you need to have your mind focused on Jesus. You need to be able to see Jesus is my salvation. And when you begin to see the hand of the Lord move back that Red Sea and he give you instructions to walk. In other words, don't stay where you are, but move. Salvation is a moving spirit. It's a progressive spirit. It moves you forward. He doesn't have you going back in the mess. He has you moving forward, right? Move forward. Moving forward. Then the Lord allowed the fire to be taken and allowed the enemy to come running behind them. Huh? Then they get on the other side. Stop the worry. Start to cry. Oh no. Here comes Egypt. And then the Lord, with that same hand, makes the water come back down again. Huh? Well, the writer, when they were singing that song of deliverance, they said the water was like a wall. Isn't that something? Isn't that how we walk into this sanctuary? And you've got these old white walls on our side. Can you imagine if you was Israel walking through the Red Sea? Oh, this great carpet would be dirt. Huh? And it would be dry. These white walls would be nothing but water. Can you imagine what you see while you walking through water? Fish just swimming around. And here you are just walking through. Hearing the sound of the ocean all around you. Come on. Experiencing the salvation of Jesus. Be calm and walk on through, right? Now when you get to the other side, don't you doubt. Don't you doubt the power of the Lord. Lord said he made them same walls fall back down again. And he told him you will never see Egypt again, right? The horse and their chariot drowned in the sea. And the Lord let their bodies come up on the shore. And said, this is your memorial. This is for you to remember. Where when the Lord gives you a promise, he will fulfill his promise. When the Lord says salvation is to be brought out. Come on. That's why I say, don't you say you saved. Don't you say you delivered until the Lord brings you out. If you say all this kind of stuff is still lingering in my mind, you need the salvation. You need the Lord to bring you out of that stuff. You don't need to be threatened by Egypt no more, right? You need the Lord to free you from that stuff. You need to see that there is only one God. In other words, not many gods. One God. Huh? And that one God has a name. And he has given himself a name which is above every name. Huh? That's why saints love Jesus. Saints don't have it hard to love the name of Jesus. Saints love the name of Jesus. That name means more to us than anything else. Why? It is because that name saved us from our sins. I would yet be in my sin if the Lord had not shown me his name. His name didn't come into existence because I saw it. It was always there. His name is from beginning to the end. But he showed me his name, right? He showed me his name. No more than he was trying to do to you all your life what he was trying to get across to Moses and Israel. Because if you look at Exodus 3 and 11, what happened there?
Moses said unto God, who am I? That I should go up to Pharaoh.
Ain't that the truth?
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to tell you, Lord saved you and giving you authority.
Uh-huh.
Giving you authority to come before whoever. Whoever and do what? Be a witness.
Uh-huh.
Be a bold witness for Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't back up and be a coward. Be a bold witness for Jesus. Represent Jesus everywhere you go. Huh? Even when Pharaoh tries to yell at you and argue with you, you stand there and represent Jesus. Huh? All of us. Sometimes we get infected by Pharaoh. Pharaoh is in the air. You don't ask for Pharaoh to get in your mind, but every now and then he gets there and he tries to assert himself and tries to talk a speech that's not like Jesus. Yes, sister, hit the nail on the head. Words hurt. Yes, they do. Words hurt. And they are very significant. Once you get it out, you cannot get it back. That's why the Lord said, be swift to hear and slow to speak, right? That tongue is a world of iniquity. It's a deadly poison. Huh? It set the whole world on fire. You say, oh, it's kind of, what's wrong with Philly? Somebody don't know how to shut their mouth. It set the whole world on fire, right? Yeah, somebody don't know how to shut their mouth. Humility shuts you up. Humility shuts you up. Teach you how to keep your mouth silent. The brother said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked, while Pharaoh is here, right? I'll keep my mouth with the bridle while Pharaoh, huh? Oh, yes, he is. But you got to understand, the Lord is not telling you to run from Pharaoh. Huh? Lord says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. And you need to know who you are. Huh? Oh, Scudder, don't you go run up to Pharaoh and you shaky and not sure who you are. You need to know who you are. I am Jesus' child. I belong to the Almighty God. Jesus told me, if I be for you, I'm more than this whole world against you. You need to know who you are, right? You need to know who the Lord has called you to be.
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? Oh, yes. You need to know who Jesus called you to be. He called me to be sweet. Huh? He called me to be kind. Huh? The Lord called me that. He said, I saved you for you to be like me. Some folks call him the meek and humble lamb, right? Why? Because he was able to stand before his enemy and not open up his mouth, right? He was able to be led from judgment hall to judgment hall and not open up his mouth. They lied on him, said all manner of things against him, yet he still stood there. And he maintained his integrity. Come on, he maintained his integrity. He took it. I'm trying to tell you, you need Jesus so you can take it. Why? Because you got to go through, right? You got to go through. You got to take all the licking. You got to take all the whipping. Every whip come down your back. Every thorn that is pushed on your head. Every spear that pierces your... You got to take it. Even when they give you vinegar. They know you need water. When they're trying to be malicious to you. Hateful. You still got to stop and not open up your mouth, right?
That's it.
Got to take it.
Thank you.
Got to take it. You got to take it. You got to take it. You got to take it. In other words, what did I say? You need to know who you are. You say, Elder Scott, I represent Jesus. You better know it. Because you are going to be tried. Say, Elder Scott, I thank the Lord for saving me. You better be saved. Why? Because you are going to be tried. And the last thing you need to do is Moses to jump up. Not Moses, but Pharaoh. To jump up and start talking for you. Huh? Because you're going to say something that's out of character. Huh? And folk are going to call you out. He said, I'm saved. Nah, I hear Pharaoh. I hear him and I see him. Pharaoh is arrogant. Pharaoh is high-minded. Pharaoh is stiff-necked. Pharaoh don't like instructions. Pharaoh said, I call the shots, right? That's Pharaoh. Now, I got to tell you, all of us got it in us. All of us, that's what Paul calls a no good thing. Pharaoh is a no good thing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Pharaoh ain't afraid to kill everything you got. Pharaoh stayed on the other side and pushed all of his soldiers into the water, knowing what he was up against, knowing he was trying to fight with the Almighty God. Pharaoh lost his son, but he still pushed the folk to fight Jesus. I let you know Pharaoh don't care about you. Pharaoh was only concerned with himself. That's why you and I got to be careful about that spirit, where we're only concerned about ourselves. Where you only focus on you and not the needs of others. That's the truth. It's the truth. You got to be careful about that. You got to know it when you hear it. Say, when you hear a little Pharaoh speech, it's noticeable. It's out of character from Jesus. You hear it. And you just say, that's right. My wife, we were riding and she heard something. She heard it. And she just didn't even comment. She said, Why? Because she knew that wasn't no saint talking. That's Pharaoh. Certain things ought not to be. You need to recognize when Pharaoh is talking, right? Pharaoh talks bold. He talks some big lofty stuff. He's brazen. He's cutthroat. Pharaoh has no filters. As I hear some say, you wouldn't want to see me when I wasn't saved before, because once I get started, I don't stop. You demon. You a demon.
That's it.
You don't even recognize the old you is still there. Trying to let you know I'm still here. Some things I think we ought to be scared to say. Say who you were. You ought not to let no saint know who you were. One writer told you should be ashamed of those things. Where is your shamefacedness? You should be ashamed. You should be ashamed of it, right? You don't want to. You don't even want it to be mentioned. Somebody bring it up, say, not me. So that, but then, not me. Close your mouth, shut it. That ain't me no more. That represents the old me. Thank Jesus for delivering me from that old me, right? Scripture said it was gross darkness. Lord brought us into a marvelous light. He brought us into a marvelous light. Realize what the Lord has killed. Realize what the Lord has destroyed. When he says, I brought you out of Egypt. And he's bringing you reminders. Every now and then, he'll let reminders come back to show you what he brought you out of. Sometimes you see people dressed like you used to dress. Don't get attracted to it. Don't say, that looked nice. Say, Jesus, you brought me out. Jesus, you brought me out with a mighty outstretched arm. I thank you, Jesus. Tell him, I thank you, Jesus. I don't want the Lord to think I don't appreciate the mess that he brought me out of. Because again, he wasn't crying. I was the one crying to get out of it, right? And don't you forget, right? Don't you forget, you are the one crying to Jesus to bring me out of this mess. Come on, read me a little bit more. Who I am.
That I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt.
Yes.
And he says, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a...
Hold up. Who said the certainly? Jesus said that. Do y'all understand this in your mind? That when the Lord is with you, he's with you forever. He ain't intending to be jumping in and jumping out. I know we treat him like that, but he's not intending to be like that with us. He said, I want to be with you certainly. No matter how hard things get, Jesus said, I'm still right there, right? Y'all said that on this morning. Say, you. I want you to really understand that. That concept, when you say, yeah, my mom is gone and this one is gone, you need to know certainly that Jesus is right there. Yeah. So that when the enemy starts to make sadness and them negative feelings come up, you need to speak to that stuff and say, that's not Jesus. Why? Because the Word said, Jesus himself said, certainly I will be with you, right? Isn't that a beautiful thing? Jesus says, certainly. Meaning you ain't got to doubt that. Jesus says, certainly, I will be what? Jesus is enough. You don't need your mom and your dad. Not when you have Jesus. I'm not telling you to disregard them. I'm not telling you not to say that they're important, but I'm trying to tell you they're only going to be with you temporarily. Right. And I'm trying to tell you, you need something more certain than a mom and a dad, right? You need something more certain than a husband or a wife. You need something more certain than a son or a daughter. Huh? Because those are going to fail you. Every last one of the ones that I mentioned are going to fail you. Huh? Don't set unrealistic expectations. Humans are limited. Huh? I got to go to bed. I need my sleep. My ears can only hear so much. Huh? My arm gets tired. Huh? Oh, yeah. Sister's going to tell you I'm holding her in the bed. She laying there. It's fine for a couple of minutes. Then that arm starts to tingling. Start to aching. She just is comfortable. I'm like, look. And I nicely say, hold. Hold up, I got a cough. My arm don't go back. Because my arm is tired. It may feel good to her, but to me it's hurting. Somebody baby. Who is that? Sean and Jackie. And I said, well, give me the little fella. Bro, I said, looking at him, he's just sitting there. Just looking. After a while, I'm just sitting there. I said, Jesus. And I'm just trying to shift him around. I said, this boy heavy. And he just looking like he said, now, I ain't getting down. I'm made to be held. I don't know about you now. I said, oh, come on. Go back to your mama and your daddy. Because my arm was aching. I ain't used to using muscles like that. Oh, yeah, I can pick them up, but I put them down, right? Babies, you can't put them down. You they hate to stay. And you be, I don't care how many arms you shift it to, it still is heavy. Yeah, right. Even if they let you. Yeah, you shift them. They heavy on both arms. I don't care how you do it. They're heavy. I am not certain. I am not the definition of certain. Yeah, but when you see the definition of certain, you're not going to see me. Because I am limited. When you see the definition of certain, only one person can occupy that. And that's the Lord Jesus. Huh? What does it say then? He said, certainly I will be with thee. Right? And this shall be a what?
Token unto thee.
Keep going.
When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon
this. This is what we're trying to get you to understand, saints. Lord brought you out for you to come into this church and serve him. This is your mountain. Huh? Lord brought you out of Egypt and he gave you this mountain. Huh? It was small. Brother Jones said that to y'all this morning. It was small. But the Lord have enlarged our territory. Say, sometimes it seems like it's too much. Huh? Sometimes it seems like it's just too much space. Huh? You say, "Oh, Scott, it don't seem like that to me because you ain't working hard enough in it. You work hard enough in it, it'll make you sweat." Huh? But you just got to say, "Thank you, Jesus." Huh? Why? Because he gave you this mountain, right? He gave you this mountain and the people in it. We are the people of the mountain. Huh? Oh, yeah, we are the people of the mountain. Huh? Every now and then somebody shows up and looks strange. But don't you forget, they're still in the mountain. Huh? Oh, yeah, they look strange and weird. You say, "What hole did you crawl out of? Huh? What cave did you come out of?" But don't you forget, they're still in the mountain. Huh? And the Lord brought us into this mountain for us to do what? Serve. Is that what the book? I don't want to quote nothing wrong. You shall do what? Serve God upon this mountain. Huh? Keep going.
And Moses said unto God,
"Behold,
when I come unto the children of Israel, yes, and say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto
you." Not gods. Y'all notice that? Ain't no S on there. There's only one God. There's one God says, "I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Huh? And Moses realized it wasn't more than one God talking to him. It was only one God talking to him. Right? And he says, "When I come to the children of Israel and saith unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name?" Huh? Is that a clear question? Moses said, "What is his name?" Huh? What does the rest of it say? "What should I say unto them?" And what did God say?
God said unto Moses, "I am that I am."
Ain't that something?
Yes.
Ain't that something?
Yes.
Moses asked for a name. Yes. But Jesus said, "You need to know who I am first." Huh? Yes. Come on. Yes. Look at how many people just run over the name Jesus today. Yes. Huh? I mean, just run over it. It don't mean nothing to them. Why? But they don't understand who Jesus is. Huh? Oh, yeah. When you know who Jesus is, you take your time and you think about the name first. Huh? Oh, yeah, you take your time. You don't just utter that name just running up. You say, "Jesus." Time of trouble, you say, "Jesus." Huh? Time when you need the Lord's help, you say, "Jesus." Huh? That's right. You call it. Sometimes you hear a song that uses that name. That's a song that describes to you who God is. His power, his supremacy, his authority, his mercy and his love. And it just brings tears to your eyes. Huh? Oh, yes. That means you're trying to grasp in your little finite mind who God is. He is who he is. Huh? Moses said he was told, "I am that I am," right? He is who he is, right? I am that I am. Huh? Come on. Nicodemus didn't even see that. Because Nicodemus said, "I know that you are a teacher. Come from God. Because no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Now you can say that about me. Yes. You can say, "Elder Scudder, you bringing forth a message like this? You taught a lesson like that? Jesus must be with you." That's okay for you to say that about me. But when you look at Jesus, you can't say that about Jesus. You can't say to Jesus, "God is with you." Because Jesus gets insulted. You insult Jesus when you look at him and say, "God is with you." Jesus said, "God is with me? Have I been so long time with you and you don't even know who I am? When you see me, you see the Father," right? Talking about God is with me. Jesus said, "I am God." Huh? That's an insult to me when my wife comes up to me and says, "Stephen, let me go get Darian so he can help you lift this." Hold on, who you think I am? You don't think I can lift this by myself? Then I go and I go to the pool, and it may be real heavy. It may be heavy. But you best not, I don't want her, of all people, to think that I ain't got the strength to lift it. Of all people. Now my daughter and my son, I can't lift it. I can't lift it. You lift it. But her, I need her to realize I'm a strong man. Huh? Nothing wrong with me. I want her to be certain of that thing. Now that's true with your earthly relationships. How much so would it be about Jesus? Jesus gets insulted when you don't come to him and tell him your problems. He gets insulted when you don't come and share him. When someone tells you, this don't look right, that don't look right, and you start running to this one and running to that one and running to this one, Jesus said, well, where am I at? Am I not your healer? You run this problem, come. You say, ain't got enough money. You go running. Can you let me borrow this? Can you please help me with this? Jesus looking at you say, go right on. Get yourself further in debt. See, if you would have came to me, I would have fixed it. Huh? And let you be debt free. Huh? Ain't that a beautiful thing when Jesus do stuff? So stop going around to other folk and go to Jesus directly. Don't insult his intelligence. Don't insult his supremacy. Huh? He's not with God. Jesus is. Huh? Do y'all understand this? Huh? That's why I want you to see. Well, Discutter, why did Jesus go into telling Nicodemus he had to be born again? Because Nicodemus' mind was limited. Only thing he could see is that Jesus was with God. That brother needed the new birth so he could say, Jesus is God. Jesus don't need no with God testimony. He needs you to stand flat-footed and say, Jesus, you are God. You've always been God. You didn't become, you always been God. He wants you to know that. Huh? Certainly. But I'm trying to help you to see your understanding will be limited if you don't have the new birth. Because you're going to keep looking for substitutes when there is no substitute for Jesus. He is God all by himself. Huh? That's the truth. That's why it's so important to see what did Jesus say to Nicodemus right after Nicodemus said that. Huh? It looked like Jesus ignored him. But he didn't ignore him. Jesus went to the root of the problem. Jesus went right down to the root of the problem. Folk come to you all the time and say, you don't understand what's going on in my life. You don't understand this problem I'm going. You need to go to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is you need to be born again. When you get your soul right, all this other stuff will fall into place, right? Oh yeah, they try to take you there. Yep. But it's you to take them where they need to be at. They try to take you there. But it's up to you. Once the ball gets into your hand, you need to take them where they need to be at. Because obviously they're on the wrong side of the field. And they want you to be wrong right with them. Right? Oh yeah, oh yeah. They want you to be just off like they off. There had been something with Jesus. Jesus let them know, there's no sense in me talking about my miracles. Because you don't even know where the wind coming from. Right. All right. Y'all go down a little bit further down in John. Jesus said, you talking about miracles. You don't even know where the wind come from. Right. And you know not where it's coming from. See how that first statement messed him all up? Yeah. Because he said within himself, I know that you are with God. Right. Yeah. You need to know Jesus is God. Right. See, it'd be something different if he said, Jesus, you are God. Right. Because in other words, when Jesus said, well, what about the wind? Mm-hmm. What about the wind, Nicodemus? Nicodemus would have said, Jesus, you create the wind. Right. Yeah. The wind is no more than your breath. Wow. Yes. Yes. Come on!
Yes, yes, yes.
The wind is no more than your breath. Right. You breathe. Mm-hmm. Then what happened to Adam? Adam felt the breath of God. And Adam became a what? The wind is no more than his breath. That's why I tell you, his breath can save you or it can destroy you.
Right.
And mother, you talking about them trees coming up out the ground? That breath can save you or it can uproot you. Oh, it can destroy you, right? Bring great things down. The same breath that's giving you life can also be that same breath that brings you death. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing, isn't it? The same breath. Same breath you're breathing. Y'all take a deep breath. Same breath you used right there to give you life can also kill you.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
It's as though the Lord said, don't make me inhale.
Right.
Huh? Jesus looking at you, said, don't make me inhale.
Right.
What you mean, Jesus, when you go here, I'll suck all the breath out of you.
Right.
And what will you do? What will you do? Something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about. You need Jesus. I don't care how you think of it. I don't care how you spin it, how you word it. You need Jesus. You can't do nothing. Acts says, in him we live, move, and you can't do nothing without Jesus. Can't do nothing without the Lord. So, Jesus asked Nicodemus that, when Nicodemus asked that question, said, I know that you're a teacher coming from God, because nobody can do these miracles is that thou doest, that God be with him. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what?
Born again.
He cannot do what? Isn't that something? So Jesus lets us know why the new birth is so important. It affects our perception. It affects our vision. Huh? Oh yeah. Remember what happened with the children of Israel when they were at the Red Sea? What couldn't they see? Huh? Couldn't see a way out. Huh? Could not see it. That's you and I. That's how you have to work with people when they come into holiness. Because they can't see another way to live other than sin. You got to show them it's a better way of doing this. Holiness is a more excellent way. Huh? Jesus teaches us a more excellent way to do it. Where you don't have to ball up your fists. You don't have to cuss nobody out. You ain't got to chase nobody. All you got to do is just Jesus. Just be happy with Jesus. I ain't got to wonder what this person is doing. I said, Jesus going to take care of them. They ain't doing right by me. Jesus going to take care of them. Jesus cut them right off. Jesus moved them people right on out the way. I seen them do it. People threaten my peace. I mean, threaten my peace. Lord, no, I just want to be in my house and be calm.
Right.
I just want to be in my house and be, you know, relaxed.
Right.
Jesus, just take those threats and move them right on out the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. Because right. Just one day you go to bed, they're there. Next day you wake up, they're gone.
Yeah.
And you don't even realize they're gone. You say, I don't even hear it no more. Go out there and look. They ain't even there no more. They done, Lord bless his soul, you ain't even see the moving truck. Lord say, I'll show you how I can move it. If you just do your part. What is my part? Stand still and see his salvation. Huh? And it's as though the Lord told, he ain't changed his speech. He said, you won't be threatened by them no more. You won't be threatened by them no more. He moved right. That's why I tell you, you ain't got to go running, chasing nobody out the church. Folk ain't doing right. Just tell Jesus on them. Just tell Jesus on them. Jesus moved them folk right on out. Jesus tried to work with that branch. He said, look, I got the shears in my hand. Huh? Are you going to repent? Huh? Jesus, take them shears and put it at the stick. Now, are you sure you want me to do this? Do what you got to do. Okay, clip. You fall right on off. Cut you right on off. Huh? And he let you stay right there on that ground and die. Oh yeah, that's what you're going to do when you get to the ground. You die. I don't care how much is cut off. Lord say you are going to die right there on that ground. And Jesus says out of his own mouth, you will be good for what? Nothing. But for what? For the fire. Huh? That's something to think about, isn't it? You don't want the Lord to say that about you. Not knowing what you know about him. That he is the one that takes care of his own vine. Huh? And whatever's on that vine that is not fruitful, he said, I will cut it off. Something to think about, isn't it? So you say, Elder Scott, what do I need the new birth for? Because you need to be able to see.
Right.
Not so much as see others.
Right.
You need to see yourself. Yep. You need to perceive. Mm-hmm. Huh? You need to know your surroundings. Right. What have I gotten myself into?
Right.
What have I gotten myself involved in? Huh? Mm-hmm. And if this web ain't like Jesus, I need to get out of it real quick.
Right.
Huh? Because if it's not like Jesus, no good gonna come from it.
No.
I always tell y'all, pay attention to what you get yourself into.
Right.
If it ain't Jesus, no good gonna come from it.
Right.
It might look right.
Right.
That tree might be looking good for food. It might be pleasant to your eyes.
Right.
It might look like it'll make you wise.
Right.
But that tree gonna kill you.
Right.
It's going to kill you. Huh? And that's why, again, you need that new birth. You need to be born again the way Jesus say, be born again. Born above what? Water and spirit. Water, going down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit having the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ living down where? On the not on you. You need him living where? Inside of you. Huh? Oh, yes. You need that. And remember, what was the first thing he told Nicodemus? The first reason he told Nicodemus to get born again? Because he said you cannot even do what? See it. Let alone talking about it. How are you going to talk about something you can't see? You can't. You talking about, if I ask you right now, all of you, how's your home? You talking about what you're hoping.
Right.
Oh, no, my door is locked because I locked it. Do you know that?
No.
I know it's locked because I turned the key myself. Okay. Then you get home, the door be wide open. Oh, how's this door open? I know I locked it. You don't even know. Somebody done broke in your house.
Yeah.
Your lock was no good. Right?
Yeah.
So you talk what you what? Know and see. See, when you ain't got no new birth,
right,
your vision is limited.
Yeah.
You talking a whole bunch of hope.
Yeah.
But you need to be born again so you can really clearly what? See it.
Mm-hmm.
See, I got the new birth inside of, I experienced the new birth so that I can see Jesus is coming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to go by what you say.
Right.
I see it. I see it every day.
Right.
When I look at the news, I deal with people at work,
mm-hmm,
I see my neighborhood, I say, oh, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Huh? Oh, yeah. See, people zip them. Zoom. Say, oh, yeah, Jesus is coming. He on his way back. He on his way back. You see people cussing. Folk ain't, just ain't happy. I mean, they just miserable. Unhappy people. I say, oh, yeah, Jesus is on his way back. He's coming quickly. Huh? Hear things slam, boom! Oh yeah, somebody's upset. Jesus is coming back. They mad because they ain't ready. Lord help them, huh? Oh yeah, you hear them sirens? Ooh, helicopter. It's a reminder. You talk to the children, say, "Don't do that." And they go. You say, "Oh yeah, Jesus is coming back." It's reminding me. It's making me look at you to remind me. Jesus coming back. You old rebellious, stiff-necked Jesus coming back. Huh? Yeah. He's coming. You got to be able to do what? See it. You got to see it. You ain't got no new birth. You can't see it. You ain't got no new birth. You be right at home. Saints be in here praising the Lord, calling on Jesus. You be right at home. You coming to church tonight? Nah. I'm going to pray right where I'm at. Oh, go right on. Because you are reminding me Jesus is coming. And when he comes, you ain't going. You need that new birth to be able to do what? See these things. Huh? The devil let him do what? Blind? If the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are what? Whom the God of this world has done what? He don't want you to see nothing. You go tell your family members. Come on. You need to come on to church. Come on to church. Oh, you can't go to church. Coronavirus. Oh, you can't go. It's too dangerous out there. But where you going? I'm going to the casino. I gotta go to Walmart. Getting ready to go out of town on vacation, see my family. But you can't come to church. It's too dangerous in church. Didn't you hear what the CDC said? Stay out of church. They said, stay out of church. Church is dangerous. Have church on the phone, have church on the television, but you stay out that building. And you don't think this is prime for a rapture? They better pray the rapture don't take place no time soon. A whole lot of folk gonna be just like this. Give them support in my church. Right at home. Jesus. Jesus, help you. Huh? Because you can't see nothing. Only thing you can see is what the world putting out there. And the Lord done told you the God of this world is doing what to your minds? Because he don't want you to do what? Believe. In order for you to get the new birth, you got to believe. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is. And then that he's a rewarder of them that do what? No matter the hurdle. You still got to diligently see Jesus. Say, Oscar, you don't know it's dangerous. It's contagious. You still got to diligently do what? The world tells you to close your mouth. Just like it told blind Bartimaeus, close your mouth. Don't you call his name no more. He cried out the more. In other words, he got louder. They said, shut up. He got louder. Jesus. Huh? Jesus. Jesus. Yeah.
Jesus.
Got louder. When you hear the enemy doing that to you, you ought to hear it. You ought to feel it. When the enemy trying to make you get to the point where you can't call his name, that's time for you to open up your mouth more. Just say, Jesus. Jesus. Why? Because you're my salvation. If he don't help me, who will? If the Lord don't help me, who will? You got to think about these things, saints. Don't devalue the new birth. The new birth is so important. You experiencing it is so important. Don't just run it over and say, oh, no. You must be. Jesus told you in a couple of verses down, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be, what, born again. It is nothing to play around with. It'll mess you up. You'll be blinded by Satan and you won't even realize you're blinded. You don't even know. You'll be so enthusiastic about doing things that have nothing to do with your soul. And then when it comes down to the issues of your soul, you seem so bored, uninterested, and then you don't even realize who you doing this in front of. You ain't doing it in front of me. Who are you doing? Scripture says his eyes are open on you.
Yes.
Lord, that means the Lord is watching you. He's watching your interests. He's looking at you. He said, oh, are you interested in what I'm saying in my word? He said, the Lord just looking at you and saying, wow. Wow. It's like a little journal. Yeah. What's the day? May what?
Nine.
May 9th. The word is going forth. What would a journal say? What will it say about you?
Right.
Then when the word stops, Church is over with. Lord's going to see you. Got all his energy. Where you going? Feel good. Oh, I'm happy. Ooh, it's beautiful outside. Oh, look at you. The sun ain't mad enough.
Right.
When I was talking to you, you seemed so disinterested.
Right.
So distracted. So bored. And then when the sinner, person that did not die for you, person that do not love you, begins to speak, you're so enthusiastic, so involved, so engaging, huh? Excited. You get happy. You be happy. Oh, how you doing? So glad to hear from you. Oh, yeah, I know. Jesus just looking at you saying, okay. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. I hope not beside that sinner you're so enthusiastic to talk to. Because I'm trying to tell you, they're not going to be talking to you in hell. When you get to hell, you don't talk to other folk. Huh? You only concerned about what your soul, right? Do you know that the rich man didn't talk about nobody else in hell? He only looked at those that was out of it. Huh? Abraham, Lazarus was out of here. He wasn't concerned about none of those folk beside him. He said, please, send Lazarus to help me. See, these things, that's why you got to be real careful, saints. You have to be. You got to take this thing real serious. Whole life depends on this thing. And if you're not, like I said, it'll get right. The enemy has a plan. And he working that plan real good. And it's called you not being ready. Say, what is the plan? You not being ready. You missing the rapture, okay? All right, so church, you got some of the word. Hide the word in your heart. May not sin against Jesus. We're going to pick right back up there again. Hold your finger in John 3 because I'm picking back up with it next week.